M.
Acra.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Woo. That was awesome.
This is Donna of Donna and Honey's Love Motel, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC local business supporters help us continue to be a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. Thank you, Spike's Record Rack.
You're tuned to Radio Art, creative transmissions, sound experiments, noise, and more on WGXC 90.7 FM Acra.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Tiffany Greenwald Simon reports for Columbia Green Media that months after the Greene County Legislature extended a large tax break to New Athens Generating Company, the business is petitioning New York's Public Service Commission to approve the sale of the Athens Generating Plant. Delaware-based Gate City NE Generation LLC will become the direct owner. But the story does not say how much the plant sold for. Whatever the number, the former owners are likely to make more since Greene County gave the plant a large tax break that almost had universal opposition from the public. Former Athens legislator and town supervisor Lee Palmatier filed a Article 78 petition with State Supreme Court of Ulster County seeking nullification of the IDA's approval of the tax break in November and said after learning of the sale, and I quote, "One of the purported reasons for financial assistance was to keep the company out of bankruptcy and prevent them from closing their doors," end quote. Palmatier also said he was curious about the sale that came without a formal appraisal of the property. Palmatier said, and I quote, "As far as I know, there's no record of appraisal. I was pushing all along that the appraisal be done and that they shouldn't be begging for tax breaks with no appraisal. The seller is not going to sell without one, and a buyer is not going to buy without one," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that part of the land for the proposed Shepherd's Run solar energy project in Columbia County from Hegate Energy has been sold, creating new questions for its approval. Carrieville Farms, LLC, purchased 60 acres at the corner of Cambridge Road and County Route 7 on January 2nd, part of a proposed 265-acre solar installation near Route 23, Route 7, and Route 11A in Carrieville and Copaic. Brittany Kenny, Senior Public Affairs Manager with Martin Group Marketing, which is working with Sensible Solar, a group opposing the project, said, and I quote, "We don't know what this will mean for the future of the project, but we do know it brings everything into question, and we know it throws a monkey wrench into the project," end quote. The town of Copaic, immediately after the sale, filed a petition with the New York State of Renewable Energy sitting for an immediate adjournment of two public hearings scheduled for January 9th and January 10th about the proposed solar project, and to dismiss Hegate's application as, and I quote, "infeasible and inaccurate," end quote. The newspaper could not get anyone from Hegate's Energy Chicago office to return calls or emails for comment. Kenny said, and I quote, "The farmer who sold the land to the LLC wants it to remain forever agricultural, so the land will remain in active agricultural use," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. News 10 reports that just as it finally feels like winter, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation announced that online registration for the 2024 Summer Camps program will open at 1 p.m. on March 24th. The DEC Summer Camps webpage lets guardians register youth for a week of camp, manage their accounts, and complete required forms and waivers. The DEC has offered the week-long camping trip with conservation education for children ages 11 to 17 for 77 years. And you can read more about this story at the News 10 website. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Accommodate Me Caringly. Bishop Barber confronts ADA discrimination at AMC Theaters. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Bishop William Barber is taking a stand after being denied a place to sit down. It happened on the day after Christmas. Barber is a renowned civil rights activist, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, a theologian, and a preacher. He's a Yale professor and founding director of the Center for Public Theology and Public Policy at Yale Divinity School, and for almost 30 years was pastor of Greenleaf Christian Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Barber's 90-year-old mother wanted to spend Christmas with him. They planned to go see the just-released remake of The Color Purple, the 1985 film based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Alice Walker. They drove to the AMC Theater in Greenville. That's when his problem began. In a news conference days later, Barber, whose typically thunderous oratory has been likened to that of Martin Luther King Jr., choked up as he described what happened.
We had to come to Greenville because you all know in eastern North Carolina there ain't a whole lot of theaters. In our small rural towns like Roper, and Piney Woods, and Jamesville, and Bertie, and Chocowinity, Plymouth. We went to enjoy the music. And the story of that movie of triumph over adversity. I'm normally not this personal, but if you would allow me today. The movie was a gift to my mother, who came to North Carolina as a government, federal government, administrative, and might have a tissue, professional in the 1960s to help integrate public schools with my father, who was asked to come here by Evie Wilkins, former principal of what was then the all-black union school in Roper, North Carolina. Going to this movie this week was supposed to be a gift to me and a gift to her.
Barber's younger brother died of pancreatic cancer several years ago, making him an only son again. So time with his mother was that much more important. Barber described his struggle with his own disability.
For more than 30 years now, I've suffered from a form of arthritis that's a rare, but one of the most dangerous forms, debilitating form, called ankylosing spondylitis. Most of you in here, I've never talked to you about it. All you just see me doing is pushing on through. I walk now with two canes. I have to carry a high chair with me everywhere I go because my hip is fused, part of my neck and spine, and I cannot bend to sit in a low chair nor rise from a low position.
Managers at the AMC Theater in Greenville, North Carolina, told Barber he could not use his special chair in the theater. They called armed security and the police and had Bishop Barber removed. Barber saw purple, just not the color purple.
I think about all the other people in the world, people who don't get up and try to enjoy public accommodation because of their fear. And the law says you have to reasonably accommodate. You have to try to accommodate. There was no attempt to accommodate. There was an attempt to say no, period, end of story. You're not coming in.
Said Bishop Barber on the Democracy Now! NewsHour. Barber has brought this chair with him everywhere, from Yale to jail, from Broadway to the Vatican to the White House, without issue. The 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, bans discrimination against differently abled people in employment, bans discrimination by state and local government. A similar ban in federal facilities and federally funded programs preceded the ADA, in public places like movie theaters and restaurants, and requires websites to be accessible. Yet more than 33 years after the ADA was passed and signed into law by Republican President George H.W. Bush, differently abled people still face discrimination and exclusion on a daily basis.
Of all the things we have to be fighting at this time, war, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, homophobia, a fight for voting rights, to fight for living wages, to fight for health care, that these two men would choose to fight me, to fight somebody who has a visible disability and say no to me going in and watching a movie that's about triumph and family, which is why my mother really wanted to see it on that day.
It's ironic that Bishop Barber would suffer discrimination attempting to take his mother, herself a civil rights activist, to see The Color Purple, a story that plumbs the experiences of black people in the Jim Crow South in the early decades of the 20th century, experiences that shape Barber and his family. But Barber is an organizer. Following the incident, Adam Aron, the CEO of AMC Theaters, the world's largest movie theater chain, flew to Greenville to meet with him. Barber says the conversation has just begun.
This is about what systemic changes and policy changes to training need to be done to ensure this happens to no one.
The bishop said at his news conference.
AMC should mean this. When somebody sees AMC, that it should mean I know they will accommodate me caringly.
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC weekend weather report. On Sunday, more snow, mainly before 1 p.m. The temperature high will be near 33 degrees with a north wind at 5 to 11 miles an hour. And snow will continue into Sunday night before 7 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 24 degrees. And on Monday, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 39 degrees. And that is your weekend weather report. From WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Green, and Columbia counties.
A resolution of the City of Albany Common Council calling for a permanent end to violence in Gaza, immediate provisions of sufficient humanitarian aid for Gaza, and sustainable peace and unity.
Mr. Adams for discussion.
Discussion on this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, we'd just like to thank the tremendous support from everyone that turned out here this evening. This has been a two-month-long battle of getting here today to ask for a ceasefire by our council, and the hard work and dedication and just the outpour of the Muslim Palestinian community here in our city says a lot. And the experiences, the feelings, the sentiments that we've heard over the last few meetings hopefully has not only resonated with myself, but hopefully has resonated and opened your ears to understanding what this group of people are going through at this moment. And I would like for our colleagues this evening to vote on this resolution and support to show this community that we do stand in support with them, that we do hear what they're saying. We want all our residents to know that when they come into these chambers, that their voices are being heard, and it's not only being heard, but the work is being done. So,
Ms. Romero.
Thank you, Mr. President. There have been modifications to this document, and I want to make sure that they're read publicly so that the public can be aware of the document that we are voting on today. Whereas the ongoing war in Gaza has resulted in immense human suffering and loss of life. Whereas the City of Albany is committed to promoting peace, unity, and respect for all its residents. And whereas we recognize and stand in solidarity with our Muslim and Jewish communities, reaffirming our commitment to their safety, security, and well-being. And whereas we share dire concerns with the war in Gaza, in which over 20,000 Palestinians have been killed. And as of December 22, 2023, with the exact amount unknown due to the inability to count the dead as the health system collapses, with another 50,000 injured and several thousands more reported missing and presumed to be dead under the rubble. And whereas we are deeply sympathetic to the 2 million Palestinian civilians who have now been displaced and for the scores of Israeli lives that have been impacted. And whereas the people of Gaza face further devastation from the lack of food, water, sanitation, and other basic necessities, with over 500,000 Gazans reported starving by the United Nations. And whereas we acknowledge Resolution 106-102-23-R from October 16th, which condemns the attacks on Israel that took place on October 7th. And whereas we acknowledge the urgency of the situation and the imperative need for immediate action. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Common Council of Albany, New York, calls for an immediate and permanent ceasefire and end to the hostilities in the region, which are causing a horrific loss of Palestinian and Israeli life. And two, we urge for the immediate provisioning of humanitarian aid commensurate with the multiple levels of socioeconomic collapse in Gaza. And three, we urge leaders to prioritize the safety and well-being of all hostages and detainees, recognizing their right to freedom and immediate and unconditional release. And four, we extend our support to diplomatic efforts and initiatives aimed at facilitating a peaceful resolution to the conflict, emphasizing the importance of all parties abiding by established international humanitarian law. And five, we express our unwavering commitment to fostering peace and unity within the City of Albany and representing the voices and concerns of all of its citizens. And six, we stand in solidarity with our Muslim and Jewish communities, affirming our commitment to their safety, security, and inclusion within the fabric of our city. And lastly, seven, we express our sincere hope that the current conflict will be resolved swiftly and peacefully, leading to a just and lasting peace. I'm extremely proud to be an original co-sponsor of this legislation. I think it's extremely important that we're passing this, and I want the City of Albany to know that this document is a ceasefire document, that this document is supporting peace, and that this document is trying to end the war and end the violence. Ceasefire.
Please quiet in them. Further discussion? Mr. Zamer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Like all my colleagues, I'm absolutely devastated by the horrors befalling so many innocent Palestinians in Gaza. I can also confidently say that the entire Jewish community, as well as all faith groups in Albany, are equally as devastated by the loss of innocent Muslim lives. I represent a large Jewish community here, many who have family and friends in Israel, even some who know hostages currently being held in Gaza. Countless numbers of them have written us emails, and 500 people signed a petition asking us not to pass this resolution. Not because they support in any way the horrors befalling the Palestinian people, but because Israel was brutally attacked by the terrorist group Hamas. Because they, like I, believe unequivocally that Israel has a right to exist, needs to exist for the Jewish people, and has a right to defend itself. Because I feel this resolution is motivated by an underlying belief that Israel does not have a right to exist, and even a hatred of Israel, I cannot support.
Mr. Ballarin and then Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Ballarin. This is a very sensitive and very personal issue to many people. So I'm going to ask that we please remember that everyone in this room, in their own way, has had their own pain in their lives. I want to make some things that are also clear. I think you can condemn Hamas and still support a ceasefire. I think that this vote doesn't make you anti-Jewish or anti-Muslim. I don't think that is fair to put on anybody. For me, seeing what's going on in this conflict took me to a dark place last week. I had avoided watching the videos. I had avoided reading many of these articles. I had avoided hearing many of these stories. And seeing that really took me to a place where it shamed me. As a human being, that we are still doing this to each other in 2024. That with all of this knowledge, all of this technology, all of these opportunities for inter-collectiveness, we're still doing this to ourselves. I support this resolution because when I think of the number of people that have lost their lives in this conflict in the last 3 months, too many children's blood, innocence, and families have been taken away. Too many.
When this conversation first started in this chamber, I wasn't as educated as I am today about the issue. And I'm not as educated as some of the people that I had a chance to listen to. But I had many conversations with many people. I was talking to a teacher friend, and he said, Mr. Johnson, what's going on today, we won't know the full effect of it because these kids are going to grow up. And I'm an educator. When I walk in Giffen Memorial Elementary School, I see kids from all over. And I just think about some of the travesties that I'm hearing about. And so please accept our apology that we didn't communicate with you in October like we communicated with this resolution. It wasn't a slight. It just happened so fast. And so I will be supporting this tonight.
Can the clerk please call the roll?
Adams.
Yes.
Anani.
Yes.
Ballarin.
Yes.
Farrell.
Yes.
Flynn.
No.
Frederick.
Yes.
Hoey. Johnson.
Yes.
Keegan.
Yes.
Kimbrough.
Yes.
Love.
Here.
Robinson.
Yes.
Romero.
Yes.
Zamer?
No.
Tennant, any affirmative?
No. Resolution passes. Thank you.
This is Sina Bazila Hickey, and I'm here with my comrade photographer, Robert Cooper.
How are you?
Hello. So around your neck, you have your film camera. And so I would love to talk with you about film photography.
Okay.
For our listeners who may not know you, could you just introduce yourself first?
My name is Robert Cooper. I am a photographer and a journalist with about 15 plus years of experience. I'm a Sagittarius. I mean,
and you shoot with film photography. You shoot digital and film photography.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Being also somewhat of a film photographer myself, there's often the question, why shoot with film when it's expensive? You get a certain amount of frames. So, you know, in this time when we have phones, why do you still choose to shoot film photography?
Well, the reason that I choose to shoot film and a lot of people choose to shoot film is because it really makes you hone in on your photographic skills. Like when you shoot digitally and with your phone, you can shoot a million pictures and you can look at the photos inside your camera and just adjust to make the photos look the way that you want to look. You can correct, you know, exposure and all that other stuff. Whereas with the film camera, you have no idea what you just shot, and you're just hoping that because of your photographic skills that the picture is going to come out looking the way that you want it to look. And the surprise you get once the film is developed and you see the results is always, you know, it's like Christmas every time you get a new roll of film and you see it developed. It's like, oh, this is what I took. Oh, this is what it looks like. I mean, I know they have a whole bunch of different, you know, apps and, you know, filters that you can use to get that film look, but you might as well just shoot the film and you know, get the original look. And that's what a lot of people are into, is that look of film.
And you use different films to get different aesthetics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about choosing which look you want? What's that process like for you?
Well, I'll be honest with you. A lot of people who shoot film who are really heavy into film, they like certain films, the professional grade films like the Portras, the Ilfords, HP5, and all that stuff. Me personally, I will shoot any damn roll of film. I am quick to go to CVS and get a 3-pack of that cheap Fuji film and use that. And a lot of them, I mean, I'm not going to call them elitist, but they frown upon things of that nature. But I'm like, if you're shooting film, you know, the whole point is to have that film look. I don't want to shoot a film that damn near looks like it's a digital photo. The whole point is to make it, you know, have that film look. I prefer using, for color, I'll use anything because, you know, I like the Fuji film from, like I said, CVS. But also for black and white, I like a high contrast black and white. I like a lot of contrast in my black and white. So
mm-hmm.
What I found was there's a YouTuber named Japan Camera Hunter, and he goes to Japan and looks for, you know, he picks up rare film cameras and other kind of film cameras. He has a film. It's a black and white film, and I really like that because it's very high contrasty. So I use that. I also use a cheap film called Kentmere 400. And, of course, I'll shoot the Ilford HP5 and what's the other one? The Kodak one, the black and white one.
Oh, can't think of it right now.
Yeah, I'll shoot that.
And we're not endorsing any of these. We're just talking about... Yeah, some of the films in the rotation.
I don't shoot portrait that often. It's expensive, and I don't see the point of spending that much money, much more money, when I just can use the cheap Fuji film.
Right. So there's the buying of the film, and then there's the payment for the process of it. And then if you want it scanned, if you don't have your own scanner. So there is, it's more intensive. So mm-hmm. you do also shoot with digital or mm-hmm. photograph with digital. How do you choose which camera you want to use, which format you want to use for which project?
Well, if it's a paid gig,